Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
Good evening. This is Sherry Batrick with the Zion Story Project, and I am here tonight with Samuel Johnson and his missionary companion, Levi Ross Gilley. Did I say that right? Mm-hmm. Ross Gilley? Okay. And Craig Batrick, my husband. And we are presently at the Batrick home, which is located at 11431 East 15th Street South in Independence, Missouri. And we are here tonight with Elder Johnson and his companion, both of whom are serving as full-time missionaries for The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And they are currently assigned to the Independence Stake. And so we became aware of Elder Johnson recently and found out that he had some previous ties to this area. So we invited him to come tonight, and all of us are just going to be here together as he tells us whatever he would like to tell us about his own experiences here in Independence and also the experiences of his family members. So without further ado, Elder Johnson, we will turn the time over to you.
Awesome. Sweet. Well, it's so good to be here. Thanks for having me. Hopefully I do this story justice. It's a pretty special story to me and my family, and you just ask questions as I go.
Okay.
I guess we'll start with my grandfather and his family. So about 40 years ago in 1975, he was asked to be the mission president of a mission. He was called to be the mission president of a mission, and he didn't know which mission he would be serving in, but he was asked to start preparing things so they would be able to leave Boise, Idaho, which was their home at the time, and to take all, at the time, 8 of their kids. Or 9 of their kids with them. So to start getting things squared away. So the church asked when the earliest was that he could leave, and he asked for a year to get things in order so he could come out.
What was your grandfather's name?
His name was Edward Johnson, and his wife is Janice Johnson. And they, at the time, they had 9 kids, which is Carrie, Paul, Kristen, Becca, Tucker, Martha, Clark, David, and that's where it stopped. There's 2 more that come along the way. But okay. That's where it stopped at the time. And Paul, the second oldest, is my father. And so at the time, I guess I'll tell part of my dad's story as well while we're at it. He was about 15 or 16 at the time. He was 15 when this happened. So they prepared, they got ready, got things in order, and then got their assignment to the Missouri Independence Mission. And so in 1976, I want to say in the summer, is when they headed out to Independence. They drove their Model T out here with all the kids. I don't know all the details of how they got here, but they came out and moved into the home on 517 West Walnut Street.
They were driving a Model T in 1976?
I know the Model T came with them. So I don't know if they were driving the Model T or either, but it came with them.
They brought it.
Yes, they probably just brought it then.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yes.
So 517 West Walnut mm-hmm. is now the location for the actual mission office for
Correct.
The mission, right? So
yeah.
At that time, though, it was used as the mission home for his family.
Yeah, so at the time, the 517 was the mission home, like you said, and the church building was just across the way. It was on Pleasant and Walnut Street. There was the old church building on the southwest corner, and so that's where the mission office was. And then about 20 years later, they moved things around, and that's when the home became the office, which is now the current office today.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Anyway, so they had a wonderful time here. They just my grandpa loved leading the mission that was kind of the one of the highlights of his life. He passed away about 3 years ago, and a lot of his funeral, they talked about his mission here. It was a very special time in his life. And for the whole family, they talk about their time in Independence with just great fondness. They just love the people here, the memories they made. And two of the kids, Sam and Jenny, they were born here. Jenny and Tyler were born here. And this is home for a lot of them. This is a great place to be. And my dad loved it here as well. He went to William Crispin. He was a junior here, a junior and a senior. He came to William Crispin and graduated from here in 78. And then the family was here a year after he had left home and gone to college and things like that.
Wow.
Yeah, kind of cool. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, that's pretty fun.
So did they have any idea earlier in their life that they might be coming to Independence?
They had no idea. They were kind of caught off guard. They didn't really know what mission they would be going to or anything like that. They were told that they'd be serving a mission. And actually, if I remember right, I could be wrong about this, but I don't think they even knew if they were going to be mission leaders or not. So they were just told they were going on a mission. And later on, they heard that they'd be the mission president and wife. And then later after that, they heard that they would be in the Missouri Independence Mission.
Wow.
So what kinds of stories did you hear as you were growing up?
Yeah,
especially from your dad and your grandfather.
Yeah, so some of my favorite stories, we'll try to go through just a couple of the highlights, but just about of the people here. They talked about the people and how much love that they had for them and how much love the people had for each other here. They just talked about how it was a big family. At the time, it was the Independence First Ward, which now covers the better part of the Independence Third, the Blue Mills, and the Hill Park wards.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the ward boundaries at the time. And so there's a lot of familiar faces here that I've been able to meet that were there. But they always talked about just the wonderful times that they had with the families here, the Suas, the Vacas, Alpews, Grandma Alpew, and many others. Obviously, those are just some that are still here that I've been able to meet. But the Moys, another one. And so they just talked about those people, the fun luaus that they had together, things like that. And then obviously alongside that, some more people that they just loved being around was the missionaries. There's so many just dear friends that they gained as they worked alongside each other and saw these wonderful miracles unfold here as they helped the Lord hasten his work in Zion.
Wow. Did you ever hear what they thought when they first got their mission call? Were they astonished at where they were going?
I don't know if I heard specifically, but I did know they were very excited. I think there were some mixed emotions. They were pretty. Some of them were really excited for the call, and at the same time, a little worried to be leaving home with 9 kids. And my dad was a junior; he didn't want to be leaving his friends and things like that. But I think they were pleasantly surprised by how wonderful the experience was. They knew it was going to be good, but I don't think they realized how good it was going to be at the time.
Wow. Yeah.
So you mentioned miracles.
Yeah.
Can you remember any specific stories that they might have told about that?
Yeah. They had worked really incredibly hard, obviously, to bring people into the fold. That's the purpose of a mission, right? Helping the missionaries do that. And so my grandpa, he loved to be really, really involved in the actual teaching. And I'm trying to think of some specific stories, but one of his, he always talked about was the president's devotionals, which actually is still a tradition that the mission does today. I think at the time it was every month he would hold this devotional. And I remember specifically there was one story of a man who was just like wandering and felt like he needed to come into wherever they were holding the devotional. I can't remember if it was in the home or in the church building, but he felt like he needed to go in. And what my grandpa had shared that evening was exactly what he had needed to hear, exactly what he had been praying for. And so he was taught by the missionaries and baptized later on. And so just little things like that that you could call a miracle or could not, but they knew they were directed by the Lord. And they definitely believed and know that they were miracles.
That's awesome.
Kind of cool.
did your grandpa ever mention the other historic sites that are near here, and what kind of experiences he had with those?
Yes, so he actually had a big, he loved visiting the historic sites. I don't know if he mentioned a lot about Liberty Jail, but he loved spending time at Adirondack and would get up there as often as he could. He had said, I can't remember where he had said this, but he just had talked about how he felt like he was in the temple when he was at Adirondack. And so it was cool when I went up there for, I'd been there before I came out on the mission, but when I went up there the first time on the mission, I kept note of that, and it rang true. I felt like I was in the temple, just like he had talked about. And another one that he just has a lot of love for is the visitor center. And at the time, a lot of the visitor center was just about just the gospel, solely the gospel, and it didn't really explain why we had a visitor center here in Independence. And so one of his big projects was in the basement of the current visitor center. You kind of walk through the story of Independence, what it was like to be here in those days, and he had a lot to do with that. He was kind of the first one that contacted the church and said, we need something here that talks about Independence and why this visitor center is here. And so I think they've made some alterations. They've kind of updated it a little bit, but the first ideas of having something about old Independence, that was kind of his doing.
Wow.
Kind of cool.
I will just make a comment here for the listeners. I used to work for the church and had stewardship for the Independence Visitor Center. And it is no small feat to get any changes made in what the content of a visitor center is. So for him to have been able to do that, and he was only here, what, three years?
Yeah.
That's nothing short of a miracle.
Totally.
Honestly, to be able to get it approved and get it implemented in that time, like, that's like unheard of. So, just thought I'd.
I didn't know that. That's really cool. Thanks for sharing that.
So, you mentioned we had a fireside at the end of September in 2021, and that there was a photograph in the concluding slideshow that hit you. Mm-hmm. And can you describe for us a little bit about that photo? And we will see what we can work with the library to make that photo available,
totally,
maybe in some way.
Yes, so it was actually when President Spencer W. Kimball came and visited the Missouri Independence Mission. He was the prophet at the time, the president of the church, and he had served in this mission many years prior, and so he came back for a mission tour, and it was a wonderful celebration. And so they actually, I'll tell a little bit about the experience kind of leading up to that picture.
Great.
But the Community of Christ and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints had not had super great relationships before this time. And my grandpa had felt that this was an opportunity to become unified together. And so they invited the Community of Christ to come for a big celebration. I can't remember, I don't know exactly what, if it was a fireside or just like a big party or anything like that. But they all gathered together to welcome President Spencer W. Kimball. And in that experience, through that, after everything had kind of died down, the news came out and said something along the lines of, this is the first time the two churches have talked to each other. And it was kind of a breaking point to be friendly with one another for the first time in a long time.
Wow.
So that was a very special experience. And so to kind of talk about that picture and that experience, they obviously had the whole mission here together, which didn't happen super often to have all the missionaries in one place. So they took a picture in front of what was then the Stake Center, the Independence church building was right there on the southwest corner of Pleasant and Walnut. And so they took a picture with President Spencer W. Kimball and all the missionaries, and had this banner above that said Missouri Independence Mission. So that they took that photograph, and 40 years later, I'd seen that photograph growing up, and 40 years later I'm here serving my mission, and I went to this event at the church building for a Zion story, and I looked up and that picture was right there. I could see all my aunts and uncles as little kids sitting along the front, and my grandparents and my dad, and so it was kind of a cool experience to see that picture up there.
I don't know if you were aware, but when President Kimball served his mission here, he helped build that chapel.
I did not know that.
Yeah. We have run across information as we've done our digitizing, our scanning of different records, and we learned that little story.
That's really cool.
Yeah, 1914.
1914.
Was when that was dedicated. Now, later, President Kimball came back as the mission president, mm-hmm. yeah. but his office was in St. Louis.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So by the time your grandfather became mission president,
they moved it.
They had moved it to the center place, mm. which is really, really fascinating to me.
That's really beautiful.
Yeah.
So you mentioned about the banner that was hung. Who made the banner? Do you know?
I don't know who made the banner exactly. I would like to say it was my grandma because it looks very similar, actually, to these banners that all of us have in our homes. It kind of says the Johnson family, and it has this little emblem on it. It looks really similar to that. So maybe it was her, maybe it wasn't. But we have a picture of that banner at the home, just kind of the banner itself, or at my grandma's home. And lots of just memories from the mission, kind of like that, the mission logo and the mission song and things like that.
It's kind of cool. Mission has a song?
It does. We don't sing it as much as we should, but it's sitting on the, I know it's on the piano at the mission president's house.
Can you get us a copy of that?
We would love to, yes. Yes, for sure.
That would be awesome.
Yes, we could get it for you.
Yes. And would you also ask the mission president if he might be open to the idea of the mission singing that song and letting us record it?
Yes, I totally can.
Okay, that would be awesome.
Yes, that would be awesome. Really great.
So tell us a little bit about your dad. So he comes on this mission with his family and he graduates and then he goes off to college where?
Yeah, so his is, I love this kind of just story of his. He was here for 2 years and then he was pretty homesick being here as a junior and a senior. He loved his time here, but it was hard to be away from friends and family. And so the summers he would go home and spend time with his friends and then come back. And he had a wonderful senior year here. And then he graduated on a Friday night, I want to say, at the Community of Christ Auditorium from William Crispin High School. And then Friday night, I believe he flew home, went to his friend's graduation at his old high school.
Oh, wow.
And then the next day after that, he flew off to study abroad in New Jerusalem. So his address went from Old Jerusalem. So his address went from New Jerusalem to Old Jerusalem in the matter of about 48 hours.
Was that with wow. a BYU study abroad?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. How cool is that?
Yeah, kind of cool. So, yeah, after that, he went to BYU and started his life there. Yeah.
Kinda wow. cool.
Just out of curiosity, mm-hmm. did his experience at the, I would assume it was at the Jerusalem Center,
mm-hmm. yeah.
did that affect what he did for a career?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know if anything there specifically affected him, but I would say it's definitely affected his life. He talks about his experience there and here with great fondness, and for his career he ended up becoming a land developer. And kind of following in his dad's footsteps, that's what his dad did. But I think I would definitely say it affected the rest of his life.
Very cool.
Yeah, kind of cool.
Wow. Yeah. So he meets your mom where?
Yeah. So he did many years of school. He went to law school and business school and did lots of things. So he was single until he was 36, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he just kept going to school. I think just in an effort to find somebody as well, he just stayed in Provo. He did a lot of other things in the summers. He would go out on different adventures, did some traveling the world and things like that. And my mom, she was actually in Boston a lot of that time. She was working as the CEO of a consulting firm out there called Monitor, but then felt like she needed to come back because she needed to find someone to get married to. And so she was 32, and they were set up on a blind date. She had moved back, and... pretty quickly after that, they were engaged and married on June 13th, 1996, in the Salt Lake Temple.
Awesome.
Yeah, kind of cool. Yeah.
And your mom's name?
My mom's name is Alice Ann Warner Johnson, and my dad's name is Paul Edward Johnson. Yeah.
Awesome. And then how many children do they have?
Yeah, so we have, there's four of us kids. They have Annie, Susanna Jane Johnson. Her nickname is Annie. She is... was born in 98 and then, or 97, and then Katie Catherine Claire Johnson, her nickname is Katie, was born in 98, and then I was born in 2002, Samuel Paul Johnson, and then Molly was born in 2005, Mary Alice Johnson.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So kind of just a little bit more about that. So when Katie was born the second in 1998, shortly after that, my mom was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis and suffered through that for the rest of her life, really. She was 34 at the time, and they raised us kids. We were all born in Utah and then moved from Utah in 2006 to Eagle, Idaho, to kind of fulfill my dad's dream of living on a farm. And throughout that whole experience, she was dealing with multiple sclerosis and passed away on May 13th, 2019.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That was really recent.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. It's okay. It's. I guess we'll kind of dive into that part of the story. It's kind of a cool experience, just kind of being here and how that kind of ties into it. So obviously it was not very long ago that she had passed away, but shortly after that was when I put in my mission paper. So it was May 2019 that she had passed away, and then May 2020 was when I kind of was waiting for my mission call and finished my papers. And all of high school, I'd had this feeling that I would go somewhere kind of with a family tie. I just kind of had some sort of feeling like that. I didn't know for sure. And I had specific feelings that I was not going to serve in South or Central America, and I wasn't going to speak Spanish. A lot of the people around me had served in similar missions to that, and a lot of my family members had. And every time we were talked about, I didn't feel like that was going to happen for me. I just had a strong impression. And it wasn't that I didn't want to, it just didn't seem right. It just didn't feel right. So then after her passing, I kind of kept having this feeling. So I thought, oh, maybe I'll go to Taiwan, where she had served a mission, or I'll go to Boston, which was just a place that she lived for a while and loved. And so then on June 2nd, I got my call, June 2nd, 2020, and I opened my call to the El Salvador, San Salvador East Mission, Spanish speaking. And a lot of people had talked about, all my family was there, and I had told them for a long time, I just don't feel like I'll serve Spanish speaking or in a Latino country or anything like that. So, it just didn't feel right. I opened the call, and my dad didn't want to say it, but I could kind of tell he was feeling, he said, this doesn't feel super right. But I was going to serve the Lord and do what he had asked me to do. And so for the next, it's all kind of a blur, but I think for the next 3 months, I was planning on going to El Salvador. That was the plan. I was supposed to leave on, I guess it was 2 months. I was supposed to leave on August 25th, 2020. And so, obviously at this time, COVID was going on. And so I did home MTC. I was doing everything online, and about halfway through my training, 3 weeks into training, I was reassigned. And I knew the reassignment was coming. So once again, I was kind of hoping, I knew it was going to be stateside. They were reassigning to only stateside missions. And so I was hoping maybe Boston. I think Boston would be kind of cool. And then I'm trying to remember the sequence of events. But I saw this, once again, I kind of saw that feeling. Like, ah. And I think at this point I'd had that feeling so long I wanted it. I was like, I just really want to be somewhere close to mom. And so then I wish I had the days right, but I got the reassignment. I got the call from my stake president. He said, I have your reassignment. I'm emailing it to you right now. And nobody was home. I was home alone, and I went into my mom's room and opened the call, and I didn't even read any of it. It was just, as soon as I opened it, my eyes locked on Missouri Independence Mission, and suddenly everything just felt right. It just felt like it was exactly where I needed to be. And so the first thing I did, I didn't tell anybody except for my grandma. I called my grandma. I said, Grandma, I'm going to your mission. And she was just all full of tears, and it was just a really sweet experience. And
wow.
Yeah, I knew this is where I was supposed to be.
Wow. That's amazing.
Kind of cool.
So how has it been for you being here in Independence?
Yeah, it's been so special. Actually, I'll give a kind of a precursor once again to that. But with the reassignment, I knew that would mean I would still go to my original assignment at some point. That's how it's, how at least they've been doing it. You go to a temporary assignment until your country opens. And so I knew I was still going to go to El Salvador, so I had to soak up my time here. And I wanted to get to Independence at some point before I would head out to El Salvador. And, oh boy, hopefully I'm not taking too much time.
No, you're doing just great.
Okay, perfect.
You're doing just great.
But there's like a lot of backstory to this, but Social Security had my name wrong for just whatever reason. They had my name wrong, and so I wasn't able to get a passport for a while, and I had to go through a lot of problems to, or a lot of just different, jump through a lot of hoops to change my name and to get a passport. And because of those complications, long story short, I wasn't able to make it to El Salvador the day that I was called to go to El Salvador for the first time. And so I just assumed that they were going to postpone my time to go to El Salvador. And church headquarters reached out to my mission president and just said, we think he'd be best in independence. We're going to keep him there. And this was months and months after I'd been praying about just like to know if El Salvador was exactly where I was supposed to be, and trying to have that confirmation, and to have the church headquarters just like do that was just kind of an answer to prayer, to know that exactly what the plan was for my mission was what the Lord wanted. And so I was able to stay here, which either way I would have been happy. I know I would have loved El Salvador, and I would have loved being here, but it was just cool to see the Lord's hand in that, just direct me to where I needed to be.
What have your family members said about, like your aunts and uncles, what have they said to you about being here?
Oh, it's been so fun to just talk to them, because this was their stomping grounds. And so now I'm in Independence, obviously. So about a year into my mission, my next area was Independence. And so since I've been here, I've just taken pictures of old places and sent things to them, and the old elementary school, and shared pictures and things with them. And they've felt that it was super special, because I've been able to carry out Grandpa Johnson's legacy a little bit, just because this was a time where it was the prime of his life, and he loved it so much here. And so it was just a great experience. It has been a great experience just to be able to remember all those memories that they've had, and to just continue, like I said, Grandpa Johnson's legacy. So it's been a sweet experience for them and for me.
Good.
Yeah.
So, as I was saying, this house belonged to the Burkhardt family.
Yeah.
And I will guarantee you that your grandfather knew them.
I'm sure he did.
And I'm betting that your aunts and uncles, your dad, knew their children as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, not that that means anything in particular, but it's still kind of an interesting connection.
Yeah, I'll have to ask them. I'm sure every week there's another something I share with them, and so I'll ask them next week. I'll say, do you remember the Burkhardts?
Yeah.
And I imagine they would. They usually know what I'm talking about when I share something with them.
Yeah.
So.
I don't remember the names of the Burkhardt children except for one. Well, there's two, Greg and Larry,
there are two or three
more.
Hmm. That's awesome. That's really cool.
So, you're not going to El Salvador at all then?
So I'm not, yeah, I've been permanently assigned here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just crazy. As you anticipated.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's interesting. Sometimes I feel like I feel a little spoiled, because, I mean, it's just been such an awesome experience, and I've had so many, just like tender mercies that have pointed to this is where I'm supposed to be, and so I feel really spoiled just to be here where my family is, and to know that this is exactly where I'm supposed to be, to have like the church just reach out and just reassign me kind of on a whim. I didn't express anything to them, or they didn't really know that my family lived here, but clearly whatever was happening at church headquarters was inspired, because I got to stay here and serve in Independence. Because if I had gone on the day when they told me I was supposed to head to El Salvador, and which was July 19th, 2020, 2021, if I would have gone that day, I would have never served in Independence. I would have served in all surrounding areas.
So, in Independence, who have you been able to work with? Have you had any baptisms or?
In Independence, we've been working very closely with Brother Eric Gutierrez to just continue hastening the work. He's our ward mission leader, and so actually just yesterday, was it yesterday? 2 days ago, Mila and Kennedy, they're Acevedos. Kennedy is a McKelvey, but yeah, they're part of the Acevedo family, so they were both baptized which was a very special experience to be a part of that. And it was cool because I talked to a lot of their family, and their family was, some of them were here in the late 70s. So it's cool. And then just meeting people that they knew, like David Sua, Tuna Moy, Grandma Aupiu. I'll briefly...
It's Miriama.
Yeah. We call her Grandma Aupiu, but Miriama Aupiu. She, kind of a funny story. I'd grown up I'd obviously always heard about the Missouri Independence Mission and how they talked about it. And one of the stories my dad talked about, the Polynesians, how loving they were, but how quickly you could offend one of them. And so he remembers in church one day a woman punched another woman in the face during a sacrament meeting. And I'd always heard this story. And here I am on my mission. We had a dinner with Miriama Aupiu, and I know she would be okay with me sharing this, so that's what I do. But she was just kind of talking and sharing stories, and all of a sudden she said, yep. And then right then I just punched her right in the middle of sacrament meeting. And I looked up from my plate, I said, you're famous. I've heard of all about you my whole life. She said, what? Tell me more. And so it was kind of funny just to meet the person that I had heard about so long.
And that's so out of character for her.
Oh, so
I mean, to even think about that.
Yes. So she's just the sweetest lady ever. So, yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
So tell us about your mission president now. And do you ever think about your grandpa when you're writing? I don't even know how it happens right now. If you're writing letters or emails to your mission president regularly or meeting with him for interviews. So can you enlighten us on a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's just so special because the current mission president's office is the old living room. And so I've been able to even teach people in my old family's living room. It's been kind of cool. But yeah, so President Ames is just amazing. His name is President Lynn J. Ames, and he has been in the Missouri Independence Mission since July of 2020 and will be here till July 2023. And he's just phenomenal. And so one of the first things I shared with him was that my grandpa was here and my family was here. And he's always been so kind about it. He just always asks about what experiences I've had with it. And he was very just like careful as we were figuring out which mission I was supposed to go to, because he has a big part in that. When you go, and I guess not when you go, the church decides when we go, but he kind of organizes our getting to the airport and things like that. And so he was always just keeping careful watch on me to see when I would be going, and was always just careful to ask, make sure like, you doing all right? And when I got assigned here, he said, this feels right to me. Does it feel right to you? I said, yes, it feels very right to me. And so that's been really cool. And then just sharing in my weekly letters, we have a weekly letter to him, just different experiences I've had. And he's always just so excited for me to have those experiences, and our interviews as well, just sharing those miracles as I meet people. I've met people in every single area that remember or have some sort of connection to my grandpa. And so it's been really cool. Whether I was way out in Sedalia, in Overland Park, or even up in Cameron, or Leavenworth, there's always just been somebody that, oh yeah, I remember the family with 11 kids. So kind of fun. And then my first day here in Independence, I met Bishop Vaca, and I said, do you remember Paul Johnson, Ted Johnson? And we were standing in the church parking lot. He turned around and pointed at the office. He said, yeah, I can see 11 kids walking out of the house right now. Because they would march down the hill to church. And so kind of fun.
So, you served in Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you remember from Cameron?
From Cameron right now, I served with Bishop Musser and the Aitchisons. They were a family that I worked with a lot.
That would be...
What was the husband's name?
Was
it Josiah?
I knew Josiah. Yeah, do you know Josiah?
Oh, yes.
Oh, no way. That's awesome. he wasn't there when I was there. I think he was in Far West Ward, but I worked with Keenan.
Keenan?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You know Keenan?
Yes.
That's so awesome. I love Keenan. He's the greatest.
He's the Ward Mission Leader?
He's not the Ward Mission Leader. Brother Kirkston is the Ward Mission Leader.
Kirkston,
but Keenan was just a family that I worked closely with.
Keenan, oh, my gosh.
Family. Yeah.
When I came to Missouri in 1996, I met the Aitchisons.
No way.
And Keenan's mom and I were really, really close.
Oh, really?
And Keenan was little. He was, like, little.
Yeah.
And maybe 7, 8 years old. And he was just such a crazy little kid.
He's so great, yeah. That was wonderful, yeah. I loved my time in Cameron. I have very fond memories there. One other thing I should know, sorry, this is kind of sporadic all over the place, but so 20 years later, in 2000, around the time of 2000, I don't know exactly what the years were, but my Uncle Clark married Jane Clayton, so now Jane Johnson, and that they got married, I think, in the early 90s, and a couple years later, in the 2000s, early 2000s, her dad was called to be mission president of the Missouri Independence Mission as well. And so Clark and Jane, they're married. Both of their fathers have served as mission president of the Missouri Independence Mission.
Wow.
Pretty cool. Yeah. And then, sorry, I'll add, add into it. 20 years after that, in 2020, President Clayton, or at the time President Clayton, now Elder Clayton, was called to serve a mission in Adamondayaman as a groundskeeper. So when I was in Cameron, he was in Adamondayaman, so I got to go up there and visit them a lot. And
that's your uncle.
And so, he's not my uncle by blood.
But by marriage.
But by marriage, yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
And his full name is?
His full name is, I'm going to forget his first name. I just call him Uncle Clayton. Marge and Jeff Clayton. Yep, so Jeffrey Clayton and Marge Clayton. So they were here, I want to say, 1999 to 2002 or something like that. And so, yeah, they loved their time here as well. It's been kind of cool to, I've seen them a couple times out here. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So have they been able to share any experiences with you that they've had serving, taking care of the grounds?
Yeah, they've, one of my favorite things he said is, I've never lived such a celestial lifestyle. I think it's the closest thing. I mean, there's about, I want to say 13 couples up there. And they just work together and they share what they have and they truly live the law of consecration there, and their mission president is the prophet, so they just have a really amazing experience going on there. And you don't usually like fill out mission papers to get called. If you fill out mission papers, being called to Adamondayaman usually isn't an option. It's usually you're appointed or called directly, and so for him to be called directly was just a special experience. He just talks about how this is his place. He loves it so much here. And I took, actually at the time we were the far west zone, so I took all of our zone up there, and he did something similar that he would do with his missionaries with us. He would take us out on a walk through Adamondayaman and have a testimony meeting and told us the history and what is going to happen there, and then encouraged us all, just like he would do with all of his missionaries. He said, I invite you to return with honor to Adamondayaman in that day that we will be called there. Pretty cool.
Wow. Have any of your family, your aunts and uncles, ever expressed a desire to come back here to live?
I haven't heard of them say that specifically, but I don't think they would be opposed, that's for sure. My Aunt Carrie, when they were out here, when she was living here with the whole family, she had just graduated and was living, taking care of the family, of all the little kids, just helping her parents. And I don't know exactly how it happened, but she was able to just become a missionary under my grandpa. So we just became a missionary. Her mission president was her dad, and she served mostly in Manhattan and Hays, Kansas. That was part of the mission at the time. But she especially has very fond memories of the Missouri Independence Mission because it was her mission.
Wow.
That is really cool.
Kind of cool.
Well, so is there anything that you'd like to share with us, your testimony or anything that you'd like to say? Just imagining that this recording will be listened to by your children, grandchildren, mission companions, your future wife.
Totally. Oh, there's so much. I just feel so fortunate to serve here, and One of the lessons, one of the many lessons that I've learned is that God does have a plan, and whether that plan goes according to our desires or not, he's incredibly grateful for our willingness to serve him and to do what his will is. And it was funny, it wasn't until I truly had a desire to go to El Salvador that Salt Lake called and said, oh, you're going to stay in the Missouri Independence Mission, which was a desire as well. I wanted to stay here as well. So it all worked out great, but he really appreciates the willingness that we have to do his will. And along with that, just the reality of this work, I've been privileged to work alongside Elder Ross Kelly here to lead the mission with another set of sisters as well. Us four have been leading the mission with the social media efforts. And it's been just a testimony builder to me that the Lord will hasten his work in whatever way he knows is best. And so it's been a powerful experience to recognize that this truly is the Lord's work. It's not ours. He's doing things in his way. And once again, we have to do it. It's up to us to be willing to follow his way. And when we do that, great miracles unfold, especially here in Independence, where such special things have happened and will happen. The gathering of Israel is real, and it's happening in real time, and it's our choice to jump in or not. But if we jump in, it better be in the Lord's way, or else it won't work. So I absolutely have such a strong testimony of the reality of our Savior Jesus Christ and how his gospel is for everyone. And anybody who comes unto him and fully envelops himself in the gospel will see wonderful miracles. And I don't say that it will be easy, but I say that it'll be a beautiful life when we do that. And I've seen it as I've served my mission. And so I bear testimony that he does live and he redeems us all. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.